Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Adherium Limited First Half FY18 Half-Year Results Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 8th of February, 2018. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Aric Anderson, Chief Executive Officer of Adherium Limited. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is Aric Anderson, and I welcome you to Adherium's Half-Year Results Investor Conference Call for the fiscal year 2018. During our call today, we will be discussing our progress against the goals we presented in August, as well as walking you through our first half financial results. On our conference call in August, I described our plan for strong sales growth, an expanded business model with additional channels to get our adherence solution to patients more quickly, and demonstrating Adherium's prudent cost management, along with significantly improving our investor engagement. During our conference call in October, I updated you on our progress, and I reported that we were making strides in all areas. Today, I'm very pleased to report that we're continuing to make progress on our business plan, and the company is supporting that by reporting record revenues. On slide three, Adherium's business momentum has been growing significantly in recent months, as you can see from our extensive list of recent achievements. Our first half revenue was $2.7 million, breaking $2 million for the first time, and it's an increase of 92% over the first half of the previous year. We announced the shipment of our 100,000th inhaler, and anyone who's ever scaled manufacturing of a product knows what a remarkable accomplishment that is. Adherium is very proud. In FY17, we delivered 18,000 connected devices. In the first six months of FY18, we've delivered almost 15,000 connected devices. This was a 63% year-over-year increase, definitely taking us in the right direction. We reworked our agreement with AstraZeneca so that AstraZeneca is funding the development of innovative sensors for their inhalers rather than that investment being made by Adherium. This further demonstrates the value AstraZeneca sees in the work being done by Adherium, both on the innovation front and the devices front. We've continued to invest in the development and launch of our next generation of mobile apps, as well as our cloud-based platform software. We've received U.S. FDA 510(k) clearance for SmartTouch for Civacort. This was a major accomplishment, and it initiated the U.S. launch planning for AstraZeneca. Slide five. Our revenue for the period was $2,661,000. This was up 92% on the comparative of $1.386 million in FY17. Our device volume increased from 7,000 units in the first half of FY17 to almost 15,000 units in the first half of FY18. 2017 revenue also included $1.623 million for our innovative product design for engineering services that we supplied to AstraZeneca. We're expecting that this will be an ongoing revenue stream for Adherium. Overall, our research and development expenses for the six months ending December 31st, 2017, were $2.2 million, and some of the highlights included approval in August 2017 by the U.S. FDA of Adherium's 510(k) application for its SmartTouch for Civacort. Following the initial 510(k) approval, Ethereum submitted an application to expand this approval for over-the-counter sales, and we expect to receive this before the end of this fiscal year. This involved a number of supporting studies, and when granted, will further support AstraZeneca's Symbicort medication sales in the U.S., as well as our own direct-to-consumer and direct-to-payer channels. Ethereum gained U.S. FDA 510K clearance for its smart touch device for GlaxoSmithKline's medication back in 2012. But in this period, we've been working on an application to also extend its clearance for over-the-counter sales, again, in support of our direct-to-consumer and direct-to-payer channels. Our patent and design applications for protection of the company's adherence platform technology has been ongoing, and we've had continued development of a new smart touch model for an inhaled respiratory drug that's currently in development and scheduled for clinical trials in calendar 2018. Our sales and marketing expenses were $1.5 million for the period, which was relatively consistent with the previous year's $1.44 million. However, following reorganization at the end of FY17, the majority of our sales and marketing activities are now based in the United States. These activities include the appointment of Vic Panda as Vice President of Marketing, with his proven experience in direct-to-consumer online community growth through digital marketing, and our direct-to-consumer pilot launch in New Zealand and preparation for the U.S. direct-to-consumer launch. Following the half year, we also hired Tim Hutchin. Tim is our Vice President of Sales and primarily responsible for our direct-to-payer channel. He joins Ethereum with key relationships with insurance carriers and over 20 years of U.S. sales experience. Administrative expenses of $3.196 million include a full 6 months for myself as Chief Executive Officer, as well as recruitment expenses for our U.S.-based Chief Financial Officer role. Non-cash costs in the 6 months include a share and option compensation credit of $29,000, due largely to employee share plan reversal following the reorganization completed in the first half of FY18, and depreciation and amortization expenses of $131,000. Our cash reserves on December 31st, 2017, were $14,935,000, which represented a net use of $7.8 million since June 30th, 2017, based on the operating activities noted above. On slide 7, this slide has fundamentals about the company, and it lists our top shareholders. But I'd really like to call your attention to the graphs on the right-hand side of the slide. Our first half FY18 revenue shows a significant increase, and then this increase is largely resulting from AstraZeneca's funding of our engineering innovation work. We expect funding of engineering innovation to continue going forward at a similar rate. Our future revenue growth is expected to come not from increasing engineering services, but from increasing device sales through our OEM channel and our subscription revenue coming from direct-to-consumer and direct-to-payer channels. On the bottom right, the device volume increased from 7,000 devices in 2016 to almost 15,000 devices in 2017. In 2016, only 25% of those devices were being used for commercial rollouts. Today, over 95% of the devices that we ship are being used for commercial rollouts. This is an important shift in the company's operations, moving us from being clinically focused to being predominantly commercially focused. On slide 8, our corporate strategy is to continue to grow our OEM business based on the momentum in the market with AstraZeneca. and to expand Adherium's ability to get our solution in the patient's hands by creating our direct-to-consumer and our direct-to-payer channels, leveraging the success of products that have come before us from other markets such as the wellness industry. Adherium will create significant shareholder value based on this strategy over the medium term. We'll be growing our OEM shipments from 2,000 devices per month to over 5,000 devices per month in the near term, and then going on to grow up to 30,000 devices per month in the medium to long term. That will be done through launches in the U.S. and other global markets, in addition to continued growth in Europe. And we'll be growing our direct-to-consumer and direct-to-payer channels to build a 200,000 patient subscriber base. This milestone represents only one-half of 1% of the total accessible market of the 40 million asthma and COPD patients in the U.S. 200,000 patient subscribers is only 20% of the number of users the digital health diabetes company MySugr reported in May of 2017, 2 months before Roche acquired them. And 200,000 subscribers represents contracts with only 4 or 5 payers. These are achievable and important milestones for Adherium. On slide 9, as mentioned before, we're continuing to drive the growth momentum of the OEM business. We're continuing to build the OEM-financed engineering innovation service offering in order to expand our product offerings with our partners. We're focused on expanding with our OEM partners into key new large markets, such as the U.S. and Asia, while continuing to support our growth in Europe. And we're opportunistically evaluating possible new OEM distribution agreements. Having an OEM partner like AstraZeneca provides incredible validation for Adherium. We've not only demonstrated dramatic adherence improvement through clinical trials, but together with AstraZeneca, we're the only adherence company in the world to have demonstrated adherence improvement in a commercial launch. On slide 10, following the very successful models of Cochlear, AliveCor, and Mylan's EpiPen, we're using targeted online marketing to access parents of asthmatic children and loved ones of elderly COPD patients who will direct pay for a subscription to Adherium's adherence services. And for less than $10 a month, your loved one will receive a sensor that matches their inhaler, they will be able to download our app, and the ability for their doctor to access the patient's adherence data through our cloud-based services. We're piloting this in New Zealand, and while we're only about one quarter into the pilot, we already have established new subscribers, and we're learning about the best messages to attract our targeted groups. The New Zealand pilot is performing exactly as it was intended to do, and we're on track for a U.S. launch by June of 2018. On slide 11, our other new channel is the direct-to-payer channel, and it's projected to be Adherium's largest. The $34 billion of avoidable healthcare costs in the U.S. are paid by this group, so they have the biggest economic gain from adherence improvement. We're focusing on the smaller self-contained systems, like Henry Ford's health system in Michigan or Geisinger Health System in Pennsylvania. In these systems, the doctors are part of the same system as the insurer, so everyone's incentives are aligned when the system saves money. The smaller systems are also able to implement changes much more rapidly, and they've already demonstrated a willingness to adopt new technology like Fitbit wearables that saves costs and improves their patients' health. We're also initially targeting large self-insured corporations such as Hewlett-Packard, IBM, and Apple. These types of corporations have a history of sponsoring technology for employees and their families to reduce the self-insurance costs for the corporations. Fitbit and Weight Watchers have been very successful with this model, and we're building based on their success. With the addition of our VP of Sales, we're out talking to insurers now. We expect to announce our first pilots in calendar year 2018, with first revenue from the payer channel coming in 2019. On slide 15, let me summarize. Ethereum has an established platform with the technology, the clinical evidence, and the regulatory approvals to grow rapidly. We are already a global leader, and we've now focused our attention on the U.S. market. And we aren't just moving to the U.S. We're building our executive and commercial teams from the U.S. We've already established our global headquarters in San Mateo, California, with a CEO, a VP of marketing, and a VP of sales who are based in the U.S. and who've spent our careers in the U.S. Our OEM sensor shipments have shifted from being primarily for clinical purposes to being primarily for commercial purposes. We've modified our agreement so that Ethereum's innovative engineering work is now funded by AstraZeneca, and we've begun to see the impact of that change on our revenue. The next phase of our OEM business is to demonstrate the increased demand of our OEM sensors, and I look forward to sharing more about that with you in the near future. Our New Zealand pilot is well underway, and we are busy preparing for our U.S. direct-to-consumer launch. You'll see that in June of this year. And we've added Tim Hoochin to lead our direct-to-payer channel. Tim has done a great job building enterprise sales for Pebble, and now he's taking advantage of those proven skills with our direct-to-payer channel at Ethereum, where we're already seeing a great deal of interest. So we are reaffirming our FY18 guidance of revenue in the range of $5.7 million to $7 million, an ending FY18 cash balance greater than $10 million, delivery of a minimum of 25,000 devices to AstraZeneca by the end of the fiscal year, and launching our direct-to-consumer channel in the U.S. by the end of June. We are very pleased that the momentum we discussed as a result of Q1 has continued to build through a record first half of FY18. We've successfully transitioned from demonstrating our ability to improve patient adherence in clinical studies to now demonstrating our ability to improve patient adherence in commercial rollouts, as well as the economic benefit that comes with that. The momentum is continuing to grow. We have almost $15 million of net cash, and we manage our cash reserves closely. We can fund our OEM business plan and continue to support our technology. That alone will drive growth and shareholder returns. Given our strengthening success in the OEM channel, the board is becoming increasingly confident that we can drive successful and profitable growth in the two additional market channels. These are large and timely markets where we have deep management expertise and experience. Given our product superiority and first mover advantage, we are actively considering ways to accelerate these market entries and to build scale. We are evaluating our strategy and how to best execute in these exciting new channels. This will require us to consider funding requirements. The business case is solid, and the payback dynamics are very accretive to shareholders. We will keep in touch with you on this key topic. Thank you again to our loyal shareholders. We appreciate your ongoing support and your confidence in our plans. Thanks, and I look forward to having more opportunities to speak with you in the near future. And now, we'll move to questions. Operator, would you please open the line?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request at any time, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question today comes to the line of Mark Pashis from BioShares. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Eric. I've got a few questions for you. Good to see you making good progress there. With that target of getting to 30,000 devices per month, how do you arrive at that figure?
Yeah, Mark, thank you. As we're looking at the ongoing growth, if you think back to the slide where we were talking about the shift of volumes from being delivered primarily for clinical purposes to now for commercial purposes, the improvement in adherence we've demonstrated during the commercial rollouts, and now moving into major country rollouts, countries like the U.S. that continue to represent half of the world's healthcare market, other major markets in and throughout Asia, and continued growth in Europe. We see that not as an endpoint, but we see that as a key milestone.
Do you think, given what you've learned in the pilot markets, let's call them, so the Netherlands and Australia, do you expect the penetration into the U.S. to be more rapid?
We do. We look at that. It's a tremendous market. It's a very, very strong market for AstraZeneca and other markets are throughout Asia. As you look at their reports, you'll see also very strong markets for AstraZeneca and very strong markets for Symbicort. And so we expect there to be significant opportunities in those markets for Adherium.
With the direct-to-consumer, you mentioned a figure of $10 per month. Is that the local currency? So in the U.S., would that be U.S. $10 per month?
Yeah, really what I was outlining is that we're rolling out the pilots now, are making sure that we're delivering the right messages, that we're delivering it at the right pricing. But as we look at that, we are planning around a less than $10 per month, with some adjustments certainly for local currency. But if you look at that at around $100 per month per patient, we think that there's significant opportunity. And there have been significant examples, like I cited, for parents to do direct pay. You look at an example of EpiPen, for instance, that sells in the U.S. for roughly $300. You know, we're talking about a third of that, but we've demonstrated the ability to keep your child from having to go to the emergency room with a reduction of 80%, 26% increase in school attendance. So we get a great value proposition at a price that we believe has been demonstrated with strong willingness to pay.
What's the price of your
Mark, you broke up. I wasn't able to hear that. Could you repeat the question?
What's the price of this product to present? Is that about $55 to $70 per
Mark, I'm very sorry. Your line is garbled. I'm not able to hear what you're asking.
Okay. I'll just move on. I'll send you an email.
Your next question comes from the line of John Hester from Bell Potter. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Eric. I think the previous question was around pricing. Can you indicate or are you able to provide any sort of guidance as to what your average revenue per unit is for commercial sales?
What we've talked about is that through the OEM channel, we have a margin of 50% and up. As we look at continuing to scale, we expect that margin to stay at or above that level in the OEM channel. We expect our margins to be better than that in our direct-to-consumer channel. Ultimately, our direct-to-payer channel, we would expect to have the best margins overall.
Okay, fair enough. So AstraZeneca, I think you said 2.2 million of the 2.6 million received or revenue during the six-month period to 31 December was AstraZeneca revenues. Is that have I got that right? 2.2?
Rob, can you comment on that? I want to make sure we've got the numbers right. John, I think the 2.2, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I would have to come back to you, John, and just confirm that.
Okay, that's fine. Eric,
we did say on that was that there was $1.6 million that was funded from AstraZeneca for Adherium's product development services.
Okay. Just more broadly, on your strategy, I mean, you're clearly getting increasingly, the management team, getting increasingly bullish on your plans for the US. You've given us some quite significant numbers there, 2,000 growing to 5,000 commercial sales of units per month and over the longer term increasing to 30,000 units per month. And then you also have said that you're looking to accelerate plans for rollout in the US. So clearly you're sort of telling the market that you've had some very strong success in the Aussie market as well as Italy and one or two other markets where the product has been launched. So I suppose getting on to what is my question, with AstraZeneca in the US, what sort of is your level of confidence that they're actually going to proceed now with their June launch in North America? And perhaps if you could just address that one.
Sure. Well, as I've mentioned before, John, we're very excited with the results we've seen with the commercial rollouts with AstraZeneca, the improvements we've seen commercially with adherence and the economic benefits that have come with that. We've also talked about how pivotal the 510K clearance for SmartTouch for Symbicort was as we received that in August, leading to AstraZeneca kicking off their planning for U.S. launch. We remain quite confident in AstraZeneca's 2018 launch of Symbicort together with Adherium's technology into the U.S. market.
Okay, so you're quite confident. Okay. Have they placed any initial orders, for example?
As I previously stated with our guidance, our guidance holds at this point at delivery of a minimum of 25,000 devices to AstraZeneca this year.
Okay. All right, then. We'll work catching up a bit later, and I'll save other questions till then. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question today comes from the line of Teddy Yu from 123 Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Avery. Actually, Charlie Vance here. Yeah. I think look at the presentation. I think thanks for inject a little bit confidence back to the company. My message probably just like to see you landing a little bit fast and the revenue grow a little bit fast, not to think you can rely on more shareholder putting more money. Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie, thank you. We're certainly excited about the momentum we've got, building on the growing momentum in our OEM channel. As we've had the opportunity to talk about before, we see significant opportunities in the U.S., both for our direct-to-consumer and direct-to-payer channels. Direct-to-consumer really kicking off this June and generating revenue in FY19 and having our first pilots in our direct-to-payer channel here in calendar 18 with first revenue coming from that in 2019. You know, with that, I completely agree we don't want to run too fast or get too distracted, which is why we look at a focused effort for our channels on the U.S. market.
All right. I mean, we just hope, you know, you're not bleeding too much and just work harder to get the revenue sales up. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. We need to make sure that we continue to manage our cash spend very carefully and take advantage of the market opportunities that are being presented with us to really maximize our shareholder value.
Sounds good, thanks. That's all. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Charlie.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star one on your telephone. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back to Arik. Please continue.
I'd like to thank everyone for dialing in today. I recognize what a busy time of year this is for all of you. Hopefully you see from these results that we're delivering very strong growth, and we're doing what we told you we would do, and we're meeting our expectations. We'll continue our disciplined execution of the business plan as we commercialize our opportunities. Ethereum is better positioned with a more promising future than it's ever been, and we're certainly better positioned than our share price recognizes. Have a great day, and thank you for your continued interest and support in Ethereum.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.